But God knew our deepest need was for a saviour. And so he did the very best he could, and he sent us Jesus, his one and only son. Now, our first Bible reading this morning is one that starts perhaps in a pretty low place, really, where some who loved Jesus came to the place where he was buried, and they were sad as they arrived, and they were confused when they got there. But then that's not where the reading ends, is it? That ends in the amazement of the glory of resurrection, and that's what we come to celebrate. As I read these verses to you, when we get to verse 6, I want you to join in with me, please. The words that will be up on the screen are there for you to join in with. When you hear me say, "He is not here," your response is, "He has risen just as he said." Then there'll be another screen that comes up after that where I'll make some statements, and the response collectively, please, is just simply, "Hallelujah." So we say, I'll read these together, read these words together, and then after a short prayer, we will go into our first two songs this morning. So I'm reading from Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and go into the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" Let's have the next screen. "Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Hallelujah." Father, thank you that we can sing our praise and adoration to you this morning. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that we know him as our risen Lord and Saviour. And Father, I want to say thank you that we know that we are all loved by Jesus, that his embrace is of all of us. And Father, I pray that as we carry on during our service this morning, as we listen to Mike's testimony in a minute, as we witness his baptism, and as we think more about you in other ways during the rest of our time together, that Lord, you will enable all of us to feel that love of Jesus for us. That you will enable all of us, Lord, to feel that embrace of Jesus. So be with us, we pray. We thank you for all that you've given to us and for the opportunity we've had of giving to you in our offering. Use those gifts, as well as the rest of our worship, for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please sit down. Well, Mike is going to come and share some words of testimony with us in a moment, which explain from him why he's here wanting to be baptised today. But before I ask Mike to come up and speak, I want to just give a few words of explanation as to what it is that we're doing. Why is this important for Mike? But not just for Mike, why is this important for all of us? And Easter Sunday is such a great day to celebrate a baptism on, and we're all really excited that Mike is here with us, and he wants us to enjoy sharing his excitement with us. But let me explain then, first of all, that baptism is a response to Jesus. This isn't because Mike has been bullied into being baptized. I didn't bully you too much, though. No, Mike hasn't been bullied into being baptized. Mike is making a response to Jesus. Baptism is that, just that, a response to Jesus. We can read in our Bibles very readily how Jesus came to show us God's best, the reality of God's love for us. And Jesus came to explain that to us and to show that to us. It's Jesus who sets us the example of how to live our lives in the very best way possible. You know, Jesus was baptized himself, and he said that anyone who gets beyond asking those, well, what if kind of questions and puzzling faith out a bit, anyone who gets beyond that, who really embraces the love of God for themselves, then actually baptism is a perfectly logical next thing to do. So Mike has responded to those words of Jesus, and so he knows that getting baptized is the right thing to do. But baptism is also about a personal journey of faith. For Mike to make the kind of decision that he has to follow Jesus in his life, it's had him go on something of a personal journey of faith. He's heard a lot about God over the years, and he's thought about what the Bible has to say about Jesus and what relevance that has to his life. He's made his own decision to become a Christian, to be someone who loves God and believes in Jesus and tries to live in the best ways that he possibly can for God. And that kind of journey of faith, it takes us beyond concluding that, well, you know, I'll be okay, I'm all right, because, well, I'm not such a bad person. You know, God wants so much more for us in our lives than just to settle for, well, I'll be all right, I'm kind of okay. God wants so much more than for us to settle for second best. He doesn't want us to have to be content with just being not so bad. But God longs to give us his best. He longs that we'll know that through our relationship with Jesus, who accepts us as we are and who we are right now, who sticks with us when we get it wrong, who helps us move closer and closer to him, and Jesus, who promises to be with us forever. And that's why baptism happens. It's something that demonstrates that the person being baptized isn't settling for second best, but they're seeking the best relationship of all that they can find, and that's with Jesus, a relationship that will never end. So the personal response to Jesus in baptism is this: I'm going to turn away from all other influences on my life, but take me away from you, Lord God, and choose instead to follow your ways. So a response to Jesus, a personal journey of faith. But being baptized is also part of being a community of church together. Because as Christians we believe that baptism is so important, that's why we're here doing all of this together. You know, we can see in the baptistry pool over here, or the water there, that symbolizes that Mike is effectively being washed clean through baptism. With all the messed up stuff of life without Jesus, washed away. A life transformed into something amazing for God. And when I put Mike down into the water, it symbolizes just how Jesus gave his life, his whole life, as he died on the cross. And so in the same way, going down into the water demonstrates that Mike has given his whole life to God. And just as Jesus came back to life after 3 days, then as I bring Mike back up out of the water, and it won't take 3 days, as I bring Mike back up out of the water, it symbolizes this new sense of new beginning and this new life with Jesus made complete. And so baptism then is those things. It's that response to Jesus that Mike has made. It's part of that personal journey of faith. And for us as church, it's part of our being the community of God's people together. And we can share this moment with each other. We can be encouraged by what Mike is doing. And we can consider our own response that we want to make to Jesus this morning as well. So that's enough from me, because the best person that can explain to you why they're being baptized is actually Mike himself. And he's going to come and share his testimony with us now. And then after Mike has done that, we'll go into the baptistry, and the other Mike is going to come and give us a hand to baptise this Mike. And I guess confusing, doesn't it? I'll call you Bob instead, that'd be helpful, yeah. So we'll baptise Mike, and then we'll pray with him. And while we're getting ready in the baptistry after Mike's testimony, we'll sing a song together. So anyway, Mike.
Hello everyone. I wanted to start by thanking my friends and family for coming today, particularly the people that aren't church people, because I do know that it's it can feel a bit strange and uncomfortable. But I just really hope you feel welcome, and I just want to thank you for supporting me today. I'm particularly pleased that Mum and Dad are here, and I want to thank you for being such great parents. You've always taught me to love other people and to be kind to people and not to be greedy or materialistic. And I really thank you for that. And I thank you for a happy and loved childhood and security. excuse me. I went to a C of E first school, and I was obviously taught the gospel there. And it obviously had quite an impact on me, because an old guy that lives next door to my mum and dad, a chap called Joe, He used to love to tell me in the pub when I was 18 or 19 that how I poked my head through the fence when I saw him sat down in the garden. And apparently I said to him, "You're old, aren't you?" This is when I was five. I should go. I wasn't 18, 19 at the time. When I was five, I poked my head through and I said, "You're old, aren't you?" And he said, "Oh, yes, I am." And I said, "Well, don't worry, because Jesus loves you." So it obviously had a big impact on me at the time. But my evangelistic nature didn't stay with me for very long. Unfortunately, through school, I totally lost any faith, and I was quite happy being an atheist and happy that when I die, that's the end of it. But in 1991, Lisa came to my sixth form, to my school, and she was the first person that I'd really met that went to church and talked about it and would share her faith. And being the atheist and the clever clogs I was, I used to think I was really clever by arguing with her about, you know, the logical things and the science and does it make sense and all those sort of things. But Lisa obviously persevered with me, and she used to take me to church at Bridge North Baptist Church every now and again. And whilst I did feel a bit uncomfortable there, I did start to warm to some of the worship songs. But it wasn't until 1997, so 6 years later, that I went on an Alpha course with Bridge North Baptist Church. And that was a life-turning period. It was an amazing experience. It's that point where I'd said I became a Christian. But whilst I said I'd become a Christian, I was quite like the seed that was sown on the path. I shot up and very quickly withered. I think that's it, or either that, or it was just the start of my journey, I don't know, to maturity. But I did feel there was a sort of black curtain above me that was between me and God, and when I tried to pray, there was a barrier there, and I had this sort of crippling feeling of shame and not being good enough, and that I was going to get found out, and things like that, which really held me back for many years. But over the last 5 or 6 years, particularly since coming to this church, and through things like Wild at Heart and the time I've spent with the band of brothers, I've really, and also praying regularly with Lisa, I've really started to feel that I'm living actually in a relationship with Jesus. I actually walk with him, and even though I know I don't deserve it, I know that I am good enough, and He's chosen me. And this was particularly evident in 2010 when I had a major operation on my spine. When I came round from the anaesthetic after the operation, the only thing I could say was I feel like I've been surrounded by such love, and Mum said to me afterwards, "Oh, that was your angels surrounding you." I don't know it, but I think that's probably true. And during my recovery from that, over the 3 months that I was off work, I had to start walking more bigger distances. So it started off just walking to the phone box, and then I was eventually walking 5 miles. And whilst I walked, I'd pray. And it only occurred to me yesterday, but the things that I was praying whilst I was walking around in the countryside was, I know I want to be a farmer. I know this is where you're calling me to be, but this is impossible. How can this happen? How can I become a farmer? And I'll talk about that in a bit, but it only came to me yesterday that I'd prayed that. It brings us to last year, 2012, which, to be honest, has been the hardest year of my life. Really dealt with some really personal issues, and I've been conscious that, I mean, we've been in a real fight. I've never been quite so aware of the sort of spiritual battle that we're under. But throughout the year, I've really held on to my faith and held on to Jesus and really trusted in him. And He's rewarded us and honoured us with and spoken to us through scripture, through visions, through prophecies being coming true, and actually audibly to Lisa on two or three times. And during this year, this toughest year of my life, it's also been the time of the greatest blessing in my life. And it's this year that my lifelong desire of being a farmer has actually come true. This weekend, this actually forms a transition from my old job as a director of a multinational consultancy to becoming a part-time bit of that, but a more full-time farmer next week. So that's quite amazing. But it's also got sort of God's spin on it, because it's not just a farmer. I'm going to be a care farmer, a farmer of people. So the idea is that we'll be working with disadvantaged people. And it's just amazing how that was always the desire in my heart, yet God's using it for something else. And it really struck me all of last year. The verse that really lived with me was Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I've really seen that in 2012. As I've trusted in him, he's honoured it tenfold. So coming to today, I'm really, really honoured to be being baptised on Easter Sunday. It's amazing. As Paul mentioned, you know, the symbolism of dying to sin and Christ having risen. But I just wanted to say why I want to be baptised. As Paul said, first off, it's because it's what Jesus did, and he sort of commanded us that to believe and be baptised. So I think I'm following what he's asked me to do. But I also wanted to publicly declare my faith to you all. I want to encourage you as a church, and also want to witness to my friends and family and to those that I really love. And I declare that I do trust in the Lord, and I know he's going to provide for us. We've gone from a very reasonable, not reasonable, a big salary basically, a good job to one with great uncertainty, but I just know God's going to provide for us in that. And I'm just excited about what he's going to do in my life and in my family's life. And one example, I've talked about my back operation. I know God's going to heal me completely, and all that nerve damage that means I can't walk and properly and jump, I just know he's going to heal me from that. So just so much anticipation. So just wrapping up now before Paul holds me under the water for too long. Paul asked me to choose a song, and I've chosen the song "I Then Shall Live," and I think it's really pertinent to baptism, because it declares how you intend to live going forward, and it's as a response to what Jesus has done for me. And the song talks about debts being paid and fears building walls and fighting for relationships. But the line that really, really moves me is, it says, "Your hallowed name, O may I bear with honour." And I just pray that that's what I'll do, and that my life will be honouring to God. So thank you very much.
Mike, do you believe in one God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, and proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Do you turn away from the ways of sin that separate you from God's love, longing instead to follow Jesus in every part of your life?
I do.
Will you seek to live your life serving God here and wherever he may call you to go, and in that way share the love of Jesus with all people?
With God's help, I will.
Mike, you have told us about your faith, and you've promised to follow God's ways through Jesus, your Lord and Saviour. And so now I baptise you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just want to read this. Joe is just going to read these verses. These are verses that have particularly been picked with Mike in mind this morning. So, Mike, these are from the Lord for you.
This is Jeremiah 17, verses 5 to 8, and it was taken from the New Living Translation. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert, with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness, in an uninhabited, salted land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank, with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit.
Amen. Right, now for this next bit of the service, I need people to come and help me. So, children, you know, this is... Well done, Karis. Follow Karis's example and come and join me at the front here, okay? What did you say? Right. Any of the kids that want to come and join in with this bit can come now. Right. What we're going to do is we are going to tell part of the Bible story together that happened after Jesus had risen from the dead, and we're going to kind of act it out a bit, really. And as we're going along, we're going to think about the different scenes of the story, and we're going to think about each step of the way. What does it mean? How does it make us feel? What does it make us think about? What difference does it make? Is it important? That kind of thing. Okay? Does that make sense so far? Yeah? And you all need to get involved, okay? And, well, there may be one or two others that might need to get involved. Okay, I've got one particularly in mind. Okay. Right, now, the bit of the story that we're looking at is in Luke chapter 24, and like I said, this is just after Jesus has risen from the dead, but before his disciples have seen him again. Okay, that's important to remember. This is after Jesus has risen from the dead, but before all of his disciples have seen him again. Okay. Now, in this first scene of the story, we need to walk around a bit. Just need to wander around a bit. Hello? Yes, shall we do that? Yes, Karis, well done. Okay, we need to just wander around a bit, just anywhere. You don't need to all go in the same direction. Just stay at the front, though. You don't need to stay in the same direction. You can just kind of wander around a bit. But you've got to wander around a bit, looking a bit miserable. How'd you do that? Just don't smile. Do you hear that? Karis just said, how do we look miserable? It's Easter. But what a great answer. Anyway, so just imagine, right, you've got to listen while I'm doing this, okay? Right, you've got to listen while you're wandering around. Just keep wandering. I could keep doing this for ages. You're well under control here, aren't you? This is so far so good. Okay. One day Jesus, some disciples of Jesus were walking along, don't do that again, were walking along the road out of Jerusalem towards Emmaus. Now come back to the front here where I can see you. This is going wrong already. Okay. And they were walking along, thinking about the things that they... Stop doing that to me! walking along, thinking about the things... Now stand up, because you haven't sat down yet. Come on, I haven't said sit down yet. And they were walking along, thinking about all the different things that they had seen and all the different things that had happened to Jesus. Now, here's the first question, okay? Listen up, face this way. How do you think they were feeling?
Sad.
Why were they feeling sad and miserable? Because Jesus wasn't there. Okay. Okay. Step down there. Okay. And he was what?
He was the source of funness.
Their source of funness wasn't there with them anymore. Jesus wasn't there. Okay. That's right. Absolutely right. Okay. Then suddenly a man came and stood amongst them. Mike, let me just borrow you for a minute. A man came and stood amongst them who they didn't recognize. So they were looking a bit puzzled. Can you look a bit puzzled? No, not you, them. No, they didn't recognise him. Can you look? You're already looking puzzled. Can you look a bit puzzled at Mike? Yeah, he's a bit weird, isn't it? You know, he's like, well, who is this random bloke who's just turned up? And they're walking along the road, and this man who they didn't recognise yet was actually Jesus. So straight from baptism to Jesus. Well done. But they hadn't recognised him. And they're walking along the road thinking, well, who's this man? Who's this man? And then Jesus asked them a question. And he said to them, what are you talking about? Okay. You're getting there. You're getting the message now. Well done. Okay. And they were looking at each other going, huh? You see, okay, that's enough of that. So, okay, because you see, they were so puzzled because they thought that everybody in that whole area would have known what had been happening about this man Jesus who had been arrested and put on trial even though he'd done nothing wrong, and this man Jesus who had been nailed to a cross. I haven't got any nails, don't panic. Who'd been nailed to a cross and who had died, and that was it. That was the end. He'd gone, and that's why they were looking sad and miserable. They would have thought that everybody knew. So they said to this man, "Don't you know anything?"
Don't you know anything?
And he said, "What do you mean?" Okay. And so they carried on. walking along the road, chatting together. And Jesus started talking to them about all the things that had been going on, and started to explain to them some of the things that had been going on. Just act out as though you're talking and telling a story. You don't have to say anything, right? And they were listening to him, and rather than standing looking confused, they started to look interested. Can you look a bit more interested? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, a bit more interested? Okay. You know, you're not still confused. You're looking more interested. They realised that this man, who they still didn't recognise, they realised that this man was somebody really important, somebody really special, somebody very clever. Did you hear that? Important, special and clever. Yeah, okay. So they said, "Come and have a meal with us. Come and have dinner with us." So Jesus agreed, and they went and they sat down together. Sit down, that's it. Right on cue. And they sat down together, and they had a meal together. And whilst they were having their meal, some bread was passed to Jesus, and he broke the bread, and he gave thanks to God for the bread. Now, what do you think the disciples suddenly remembered? What do you think they might have remembered? Go on, Lucy. Yeah, but why would that, that's when they suddenly realised it was Jesus. Why would they remember in that moment that it was Jesus? Because before he died, he broke bread with his disciples, didn't he? Yeah, go on.
And he was saying, "The bread is my body and the wine is my blood."
Absolutely spot on. And that's when they remembered, yeah, well done. That's when they remembered that Jesus had broken bread with them at the last meal they'd shared together and said, "This is my body being given for you." And they'd shared some wine together, and Jesus had said to them, "This is my blood being poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins." And they suddenly remembered. And they say, "You ready for this? You ready for this?" You don't have to join in particularly. Well, you can if you want. But they were suddenly really, really excited. Can you be...
Yay!
Okay, and they were so excited that these... Remember, this story is about two men walking along the road, so we're just having to add a little bit here. And they decided, they were so excited, so excited, that they needed to run back to Jerusalem and tell all their friends about it. Right, quick loop around the church and back to the front. Okay, you can go and sit back down in your seat. Okay, move back that way a bit.
Yay! Now can I scream my eyes out?
No.
Yay!
When they got to Jerusalem, and they told all their friends what they'd seen, suddenly Jesus came amongst them again. Oh, Mike, sorry, I need you again. I forgot this bit. Jesus came amongst them again and sat with them. And this time, Jesus was looking a little bit more serious. You are sitting on Daddy's lap, yeah. And Jesus was looking a little bit more serious. And so everybody that was with him thought, well, let's listen carefully, because he's obviously going to say something to us. And first of all, he said to them, "Have you got anything to eat?"
No.
Yeah.
We did have... I haven't had any sweet.
Okay. But in this story, in the Bible...
Oh, right.
The answer was, yeah, here, have some fish. Okay? Right. So... They didn't have any Easter eggs. Okay. So Jesus had something to eat. And his disciples were whispering to him, Why has he done that? Surely he's not that hungry. Why has he had something to eat? And Jesus explained to them the reason that he was having something to eat was to prove to them that he was real. That he was really there. It was really him. That he was really alive. And then he said, look, see in my hands and my feet and my side the wounds from when I was put on the cross and when I died. And the disciples were like, okay, yeah, we see that, we see that. What's going on? And Jesus began to explain to them everything that had happened to him and why it all happened. He told them before, but they hadn't really kind of got it completely until after he had been crucified and he had come back to life. Some of them were still feeling a bit confused, but Jesus carried on talking and they listened carefully. And Jesus talked to them about how everything that had happened to him, it was probably felt a bit strange and it felt a bit odd that it should all happen in the way that it did. But Jesus explained carefully to all of his disciples that everything that had happened to him was all part of God's plan. It had all happened on purpose. And it had all happened so that God could prove to the whole world how much he loves them and cares for them. You see, God had given his absolute best to people in giving them Jesus. And this was the only way that God could think of that he could actually get people to think about it and take it so seriously. And then as Jesus carried on talking to them, he explained that even dying on the cross and being raised to life again, that was all part of the plan, and it was all the way that God wanted people to know about him. Do you know, this is such an important part of the Bible that we can look at, because it helps us to remember that Jesus is real, that it's not just some made-up rubbish that people talk about, but Jesus is really real, and that he's alive through the power of his Spirit in our lives today. And Jesus wants us to believe in all the things that we read about in our Bibles and all the things that we hear about at church and at home with our families. And Jesus wants us to know that when we see somebody getting baptized like Mike did, that this is something really important. And this is about us responding to Jesus and saying with our own lives, Jesus, I love you and I want you to be part of my life. And particularly today on Easter Sunday, this is what we're thinking about, isn't it? That Jesus wants to be part of our lives all the time, forevermore. He's promised that he will never leave us and he won't give up on us when we're mucking up and getting things wrong. But he'll help us and he'll love us and he'll care for us and he'll stay with us forever. Now, this is something that's not just for one or two people. This isn't something that's just for Mike, just because it's the day that he got baptized. But this is for all of us. This is for every single one of us here. This isn't just for the children. You know, sometimes I've heard people say, oh, the Bible is full of stories for kids. Well, you know, these stories in the Bible, these accounts of real life events, aren't just for the children. They're for all of us. They're for every person living on the face of the planet. And today we want to be able to communicate to everybody that as Christians we believe that Jesus rose from the dead for us. And that we have this opportunity to respond to him. We have this opportunity to say to God through Jesus, I love you so much. I thank you for helping me in my life. Or we can come to God and we can say, look, listen, I've got all this stuff going on in my life, these things I don't understand. Will you help me with it? And we can know for sure that because of Jesus, that God's answer is always, yes, my child, I love you and I care for you. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, I'm here for you. I'm here with you to help you. And you know, some people might come to Jesus and say, but look, you know, you're not going to be interested in me because I've got all this rubbish that's going on in my life and all this horrendous stuff that I've done. And Jesus is going to say to you, I don't care about any of that right now. All I want you to know to begin with is that I love you and I want you to walk your life with me as part of it. And then we'll work on all of those things, and we'll work on all of those things that you need reconciliation for and you need forgiveness for. We'll work on those things together that you need healing for. Because I love you and you are precious to me. That's what Easter is about, isn't it? Yeah, it's great that we can have Easter eggs and we can have Easter egg hunts and whatever else we might be doing today, and we can get together with family and celebrate in all kinds of ways. But let's not miss this important part of what Easter is. Easter is only here because of Jesus. So let's celebrate that and think about that. If you want to go back to your seats now for a minute, and we're going to pray together and then we're going to sing a song in a moment. As we pray, then the first part of our prayers, we'll have a section that we can all join in with. The words will be up on the screen again. And the bottom line each time that's in bold italics, if you could say that with me, and that we'll share these prayers together. If you could say these prayers as you feel able. And I say that because this is our response to Jesus this morning. If you're not quite sure for yourself just at the moment what that might mean for you, then look at the words and listen to them. Don't be closed off to them. If you don't feel able to say the words with us, that's fine. But listen, please don't be closed off to the thought of having Jesus as part of your life. So we'll share those first part of the prayers together, and then I will lead us in some more prayers after that. So let's pray together. Let's come before God and realize as we do that we are bringing ourselves into the presence of Jesus, our risen Lord and Saviour, who's we're here with us by God's Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, move in power amongst us. Christ has risen. Christ has risen indeed. Christ has risen, waiting for us to notice. Christ has risen, waiting for us to respond. And so, Lord, we do that now as we respond to you with our lives. Jesus, we accept you, love, through every part of our lives. Jesus, help us to trust you in all that we are and seek to be. Jesus, help us to live your way for all that we are now and all that you are enabling us yet to be. Jesus, we thank you for your mercy and grace. And so, Jesus, on this Easter day, we reach out to you and accept resurrection hope of new life. And Lord, as we carry on thinking through our responses to you this morning, Father, we pray that you'll help us to move beyond all the barriers of life that we might put up for ourselves. The things that we decide are the reason why we can't come close to you, Jesus. Help us to move beyond them. Help us to take down those barriers and those dividing walls between us and you, and know that you're there helping us to take those walls down brick by brick. And Lord, help us to move beyond the expectation that others place on us, and so come to you, Jesus, and hear you say to us again, "You are my child and I love you. Let me embrace you. Let me heal and restore you. Let me reconcile you and bring forgiveness into your life. Let me help you to know that the hope I offer you isn't just for a limited time, but it's forevermore." Father, thank you for these words that we can focus on and use as our response to you. We ask, Lord, that you will help us in the different situations and circumstances of our lives to trust you, Jesus, in everything, to seek your help, your strength, your guidance in all things, to come to you when we know we need to seek your help because we're not sure about something or we've gotten something that doesn't quite feel right and we want to come and seek you again. Jesus, bring the hope of resurrection, new life, into troubled lands beyond ourselves. Jesus, bring the hope of resurrection into troubled lives, whether that's our own or others that we know, Lord. And Jesus, help us to be the ones to show the hope of resurrection, new life to those around us. Father, help us to be the example of what it means to be followers of Jesus, so that others might see and so be drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're nearly at the end of our service together this morning. And in a moment, tea and coffee will be served. Please do stay and share that with us. And during that time, there will be a number of folk from our church here, our prayer ministry team, who will be willing to talk things through with you. If something has been said or done in the service this morning that you want to talk through or pray over, or something in your life that you want us to pray for you for, then just maybe come down to the front or come and find me or one of the people you've seen up the front, and we'll pray with you and help you to move that bit closer to Jesus this morning. And we can come then in our final song this morning and bring together all of our thoughts of the resurrection of Jesus to new life in this great hymn of praise. It acknowledges again our resurrection hope that we have in Jesus. It brings our thoughts of the cross together so that we can meet with Jesus and make that decision for ourselves to follow him. Do that. Don't doubt any longer. Don't put it off any longer. But make that decision this morning to embrace Jesus as your Lord and Saviour and follow him. And so then at the end of the song, if the children want to find Pauline, she's got something for each of you, and then we can share tea and coffee. But first of all, let's stand together, please, and worship God with these words of praise. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering sun.